Good morning. My name is Jameson, one of the pastors here at Sea Life Benson, and so honored to be sharing God's word with you this morning. We've just been an incredible season as a church this past few weeks, and we've been in 1 Corinthians. I heard we've been in for quite some time, and so today we get to close this thing up. We get to kind of put a seal on the message we've been preaching, and I've just been excited of where we are and what we've gone through and maturing as a body. And we have gone through some tough passages. We've gone through some things that may have caused us to ask questions and to see what God is doing in our lives. And to me, that's amazing when you can hear the word and then take it and say, God, what are you saying in my life? And ask those tough, challenging questions and keep asking and searching and growing. And that's how maturity happens. You ask and you search and you grow and continue to dive in. And so good job, church, of continuing to grow and embrace what God is doing. And so I just want to close this up, chapter 15 that was read, which is the gospel. And if I could title this, if I could bring it all and wrap it together, it would be two words. It would just be this gospel. This gospel. Look at your neighbor and say, this gospel. This gospel. In this gospel, there's three things that I want to highlight for you. And the text kind of speaks for itself. It's not too hard to try to grab a lot of stuff out of this text because it just speaks for itself. And so I was wrestling all week with it. I'm like, God, you know, what can I pull out of it? And just kept it's just the simple essence of it. It's the simple, beautiful gospel. But there's three things, if I could lead you to, is first, it's remembering this gospel, it's understanding this gospel, and then it's embracing the grace of this gospel. And Paul, he's concluding 1 Corinthians, and he wants to highlight this. I could see him writing, and he was taking the church of Corinth. He's taking them through this wave of how to be a healthy church and how to live this out. And he's given, he's telling them how to live right. And we've gone through that. And here's what spiritual vitality looks like in the church. We've gone through that. And then he's wrapping up and he's closing it. And he says, above all, I need you to remember. I need you to remember. It opens up in verse 1. It says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. He says, I want to remind you, I need you to remember. And I don't know about you, but as I've been getting older, it's been getting tough to remember things. Thank God for Facebook. It gives you highlights of people's birthdays. It sends you right there. Today is such and such birthday, doesn't it? Or even I've had this, I don't know about you, but I had this love-hate with social media. Because it's good in the essence that you can post your highlights and for those who care about it, of what you eat that day, praise God, you know. But what it does is it also brings back pictures of how you used to be. Ooh, I saw some faces. In fact, the beginning of this year, they had this challenge, the 2019 challenge. Y'all see that? And it said, post your 10-year anniversary pic, your picture. And it says this gauge of how you used to be the past 10 years. Some of us used to have hair 10 years ago. Praise God. You know. But what it does is it brings back a memory or a moment that you lived in. It says, Facebook says, I want you to remember how you used to be. And so it posts it up. And how many know, if you see a picture, you can kind of go back to where you were, can't you? Like, you see that picture, it's like, I remember such and such. I remember I was with that person, or I remember some good or bad, and maybe, you know, you may have been in a bad relationship, or you thought that relationship was going to go somewhere, and it pops up like, oh my goodness, I don't even talk to this person anymore, you know? But it brings out a memory, doesn't it? It shows you a highlight of who you used to be or where you used to be at in that moment, and that's what memory does. How many know, like, even your memory, like, a smell can bring a memory back? and you're like, ooh, that smelled like my old boyfriend. Yeah, or ooh, that was like my old, it brings back memories. Or even food can bring back memories, can it? Like, ooh, I remember when I was in the summertime and on the beach, like, ooh, how many wish you were there right now? Holla at your boy. But memories can bring back things. And so I'm telling my wife, I didn't tell her I was posting this picture, so I might be in trouble, but this picture, and so this picture came up in one of my highlights 10 years ago. We were in Kansas City on a roller coaster getting ready to go up, and we're excited. She's more excited than I am. And if you look at it, like, words come to your mind like, man, they're having a blast. Man, I wish I was there. Man, their marriage is great. Man, they're having so much fun. Ooh, I bet you they're just laughing all the time. Huh. So what you see is different than our reality, because his memory came up, and I said, oh, man, this was 9 years ago when we were just a year and a half into being married, and it was one of the toughest times of our life. And this picture shows I was at the biggest weight I had ever been. I was 200 and I was struggling. I was trying to find my way. I just got married and we had a blended family, and I was trying to figure the family dynamics, and my dad had just passed and we just took over his estate, and I had just quit youth ministry, didn't know what I was gonna do with my life, and at this moment I was really, you know, didn't know what my faith looked like with God, and I was questioning everything, and I knew there was more, but didn't know how to get there, and it looks like we're fun, but little do you know, 48 hours ago, before this pick, was one of the toughest times of our lives. We were thinking about getting a divorce 48 hours before this picture. We were struggling, trying to figure out, and it brought this memory up, and I was like, man, but I remember the grace of God through our marriage, which is where we are here today. It's not for a pity party. It's not for to get any of that. It's just to show you what memory does and how we remember certain moments in our lives. And 10 years ago, we were at a crazy place in our life, a crazy place in our marriage. And I know some of you sitting here this morning that I tell you, I'm real. I don't act like you got it all together. I know you don't. So you can come in on Sunday mornings and think you got it all together. I know you don't. Know how I know you don't? Because I don't. I don't. I know it's real. I know you're trying to figure out financing, trying to figure out marriage stuff, and you got issues. You got father issues and mother issues. You got issues of life. And you're just trying to figure it out. You're trying to see what God has. And Paul writes, he says, I want you to remember this gospel. I want you to remember this gospel. He says, in these moments, it could be struggling. In these moments, it's tough. But I need you to remember why you do what you do. I need you to remember why we come together. I need you to remember why we have church. And he was explaining to the Corinthian church. He says, all these things has happened. I'm explaining to you about the gifts. I'm explaining to you about living right. But it all hinges on the fundamental foundation of our faith. He says, you got to remember what Jesus Christ did in your life. He said, you got to remember. And so I was reading about psychology of how do we remember. And so I'm not going to pretend like I'm a smart dude. So I went to Psychology for Dummies, and it showed me this. So if you know anything about this, you can correct me if it doesn't happen. So it says this. It says, think of your memory as a bank. It says, think about your checking account and your savings account. Each of these accounts does something a little different with the functions. One is a short term and savings, and then your savings is more of the long term that you have. And your memory functions of information in different ways just as well. And so there's three kinds in your memory. The first one is this. It's your sensory memory. It's a split second memory system that stores information coming in through your senses. Have you ever looked in the sun and then closed your eyes and looked away? What happens? You see the sun, don't you? The after the after image is a visual sensory memory known as the iconic memory. For auditory stimuli, it's called echoic memory. This process happens so fast that it is sometimes considered a part of the perceptual process, but is, in fact, part of the overall memory system. So you have your sensory memory, your senses. Then your next one goes to your short-term memory, also known as the working memory, consists of the information that is active in your conscious right now. The things you're aware of, the light screen, things are being read, the sound effects, things that stimulate your awareness or your conscious awareness. And then you're being stored in your short-term memory. Things you're not aware of can simply be forgotten in many cases. And so you have short-term, and now you have your long-term memory. Your long-term memory and the information is in your short-term memory is rehearsed long enough, it eventually ends up in your memory savings account, the long-term memory. You basically have two ways to deposit this information to your long-term memory. First, it's the maintenance rehearsal, the transfer of the information from your short-term memory through repetition till committed to long-term storage. And then I love this one, it's your laboratory rehearsal. Your mind elaborates on the information, integrating it with your existing memories. When information is meaningful and references something that you already know, remembering is easy and forgetting becomes even harder. And Paul says, I need you to remember this in your long-term memory. I need you to store this information so you won't forget. I need you to store this so you know that when life gets busy and when you stop realizing what's going on in your life and things are happening and how many know busyness can happen in our lives and you can kind of forget forget some main things in your life. And Paul says, I need you to remember this thing in this moment that Jesus Christ did in our lives. I need you to remember why, because when you were down and out, I need you to remember what he did. When you didn't feel like you had any hope, I need you to remember what he did. When you feel isolated and alone, I need you to remember what he did. When you don't feel like you're being loved or valued, I need you to remember what he did. I need you to store it up in your memory so that when life gets you and life hits you, you can understand why you do what you do and why we come together. I need you to remember. Even Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I need you to remember. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, he's talking to his disciples. They're at the table and he's getting ready to be crucified. And he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this in, everyone say, remembrance of me. I need you to do this thing to remind you of why I came. I need to remind you. He says, I need you to remember. And the second thing he says, not only do I need you to remember this gospel, but I need you to understand this gospel. He moves on. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance. I brought to you of most utter importance. In fact, this is a big deal. This moment, or what I'm about to explain to you, is a big deal. I want to drop this to you of most importance that you have to remember what I also received. I want you to remember this. He says that Christ died for our sins. And I need to remember this. You got to remember this. He took on all of humanity. He took on all of our sins. He took on everything that we held so tightly. He took that on. He took on our anxiety. He took on our depression. He took on when we lied. He took on when we were robbing people. He took on our bad thoughts. He took on everything. I need you to remember what Christ did for you. This text speaks for itself. I need you to remember, in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. I don't know about you, but I get excited hearing about what Jesus did. If anything should excite you, it should be excited about what Jesus did for you. If anything is worthy of praise, if anything is worthy of honor, if anything worthy of worship, is Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised up from the dead. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. I'm like, man, I know how jacked up I was. I know how messed up I was. I know how lost I was 10 years ago trying to find my way. I remember those moments, but I also remember what Christ did for my life, undeserving of that. I remember what he did. Jesus. It says according to the scriptures. And then goes on, he says, and if you don't believe me, if you don't believe my words, I got a list of people who could testify of what Jesus did. Man, I love when people testify of what Jesus did. He says, he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at a time, and most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then he appeared to the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me, this foundational fundamental truth that we build our Christian foundation on that separates us from any other religion is that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and he was rose on the third day. And he said, if you don't believe me, I need to testify of who has seen. I need to testify of that. And I love being around people who can testify what Christ did in their life. I love being around people who say, if you knew who I was before pre-save days, who know about them pre-save days? You already know. Your timeline pictures came up pre-save days. Yep. Memories coming back right now. Pre-save days. And he says, I know how I used to be, but I remember he came into my life. Paul said he came into my life. I can testify for myself what he did for me. I can testify for myself how he changed me. He testified. He says, I need you to understand this gospel. You understand what Jesus did. A man who came and changed and flipped the culture. A man who came who was all man, all human form, but also was deity of all God, all in the same one. He was this man, a man who would go into a chapel and flip over the tables because he was mad at them, but also he could relate to humanity. He could cry. He said Jesus wept. He would cry with those when he lost somebody. So I could weep with those, and also I can turn the tables upside down. He says I can be both fanned. This is Jesus. Jesus who came in flesh for you and I to take on all of our sins. This is Jesus. I need you to remember. I need you to understand what he did. Why? Because when you preach this gospel, it's not just for you. It's for others to receive what happened. It's for others so you can testify to his goodness. To testify. And he's testifying right now. He might be preaching. I don't know. He might be, when he's writing it down, I bet you he might be shouting while he's writing it down. He might be saying, man, Jesus, I know what he did. He probably did a little, He probably, as he's writing, He was probably a little passionate as he's writing this. Now, I don't know about you, but I get passionate about what Jesus did for me. I tell you all the time, I don't know much. I'm not an incredible intellectual dude. I'm not that, but I do know this one thing. I do know what he did for my life. And I get to preach this gospel of what Jesus did for my life. I can testify to that. I stand firm on that. That is truth. That's truth. And so he says, not only do I need you to remember, not only do I need you to understand, but also this third thing, I need you to embrace the grace of this gospel. You should embrace the grace of this gospel. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I want you to see that, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. And Paul says, if it wasn't for the gift of grace, I would not be who I am. He understood Paul was the number one persecutor of the church. Paul was the champion of killing Christians. Paul was that dude you didn't want to mess with. You didn't want to profess your faith in front of Paul. He said, you start professing your faith, he said, kill them. He was that number one dude. He had Christians on his hit list. He was going after Christians. And so he said, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be here. But by the grace of God, I am who I am because of his grace toward me is not in vain. I understand how bad I was. I don't understand how jacked up I was. I understand the wrongs that I've done. I understand that. But also I embrace the grace. I embrace his gift of grace. He says this in Ephesians 3:7. It says, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the what is the plan of the mystery hidden of ages of God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might not be known to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purposes that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul knew this. He said, grace is what most needed and best understood in the midst of sin, suffering, and brokenness. Because we live in a world of where we feel like we have to earn it, where we have to work for it. That if I do this and I can receive this, and if I keep doing this, I can receive this. Paul says, that's not how this works. That's not how this grace works. You can't earn it. It is given. And this word grace, it says, a shorthand of what grace is mercy, not merited. This grace is the opposite of karma, which is all about getting what you deserve. But grace is getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. We deserved death. We deserve the ultimate penalty. We deserve to have died, but God said, no, I love you enough to send my son, Jesus, down for you. And he's going to take the place for you. He's going to take on your sins for you. And Paul understood this. He understood this. He said, I'm not qualified for this. And it's amazing to me that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He said, some of you in here said, I don't feel qualified to do this. None of us do. I'm not qualified to preach. None of us are. But it is by the grace of God that I'm able to preach this gospel, because I understand fully how I used to be, but it was by his grace I am who I am today, this morning. And some of you in here are wondering, coming and saying, I'm not qualified. I don't understand. I'm confused, trying to figure it out. I'm trying to work. Or it's not understanding. And that's okay, but I come to tell you, it's by his grace that you are who you are. It's by his grace that he loves you, that he sees you, that he hears you. This is grace. That you don't have to keep working for it. No. Embrace the grace of this gospel. Receive this grace of this gospel. Man, it's not a tough text. It's not one that you have to kind of, you know, dissect. No. Sometimes you just have to embrace and receive this grace given to us. Paul understood that. He was the chief killer. He was the one going. We weren't allowed in his presence. He was coming after you and I. He understood this. But then he said, I work harder than anybody else. He said, I work harder not to gain favor, but he understood the urgency in which he had to preach his gospel. He understood. He said, I know how bad I was, and so that makes me work even harder to reach even people who are lost and need to be found. And I'm telling you, he said, I'm going to work this thing and work this thing. And I come to tell you why we gather, why we come, why we remember, why we lift up our hands, why we worship, because of the grace of God given to us. And when you feel lost and you feel like you don't understand it, when you feel like you're trying to figure it out, when you feel like you're with questions and uncertainty, you can always come back in remembrance of what he did, because I come to tell you, if he doesn't heal you, he is still good. If he doesn't do anything else, he is still good. He's still worthy to be praised. He's still worthy to be worshipped. If he does nothing else, you still can remember the greatest moment in history, what he did for you and I. And if I just remember that, I'm able to understand my purpose and my calling. I can't forget. Paul said, don't forget. Don't forget this incredible thing that happened. This moment in history that will never be duplicated. This moment in history. And come to tell you, this is not an Easter message. This is an everyday message. This is not just on Easter we want to shout this down. No. Every day I wake up, I'm thankful. God, I thank you for your grace for my life. Let me remember, let me understand, let me embrace this gospel. Why do people come and are attracted? Because it is this gospel. It is not my story. It has nothing to do with me. It's not my story. I did nothing for you. It was all Jesus. Why I come is not because of a personality who preaches. It's because I worship Jesus. for what he did for you and I. It is this gospel of why I remember, why I understand, and why I embrace the grace. And Paul is writing, I wonder as they're reading this text, they've gone through all these emotions. They've gone through, you know, how to worship, how to gather, and how to come to understand it. And Paul, I believe he saved the best for last. Like you said, he saved this great context for last. He said, all that's great, but if you do that, it's in vain unless you know why you do what you do. It's in vain. And what would it look like for a church that's a gospel-centered church that reaches out, that loves well, that sees well, that understands, man, I didn't do anything great. I just understand it was by the grace of God that I am who I am. That we embrace the fundamental foundation of our Christianity is this text. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He explained to them, he said, don't you ever forget this greatest moment that ever happened. And when you walk out here today, don't you forget what he did. Let that seep in. Let that seep in into your heart, what he did. Because we can skip over real quick, can't we? You start coming a lot and you start coming to church and then you start getting involved and you start serving and you start doing other things and you can forget why we do what we do. Whew. Why I do what I do. Why I preach his gospel is because of what Christ has done in my life. And so to let us remember. And I don't know where you are with your walk. And I know where you are with your faith. And I know if you came in with questions and searching. I don't know that. But I do know the goodness of Jesus Christ and how much he loves you, how much he values you, how much he cares about you, how much he cares about your marriage, how much he cares about everything that's happening in your life. He cares. But if he doesn't do anything else, he is still good. He is still good. Jesus told his disciples, and Paul had to tell the church, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Powerful text. I get passionate about this text. The word comes alive in this text. It speaks to me. I see myself. I see myself. I understand what Paul is saying. I have to remind myself, Jameson, don't ever forget what Christ has done in my life.